This session is called How to Control Your Mind. The term prisoner in one's own head can aptly describe a situation that we could all describe as uncomfortably familiar. Tell me, who among us doesn't feel like a passenger on the roller coaster of our own thought world at times? But be warned, in this case, we don't even have a brake in our hands or a freely accessible emergency lever, let alone a seatbelt. Instead of being in control of our conscious world, we manifest a rather dictatorial attitude. Thoughts, impulses, and emotions do whatever they feel like doing, so sovereignly that we often seem completely helpless against them. It is as if we are sitting in the back seat of a car, hurtling at wild speed through unfamiliar terrain, with our own head at the wheel, but without navigation and perhaps without permission. And because we are not in power, we can find ourselves in situations where the train of thought is on the wrong track. These trains have a particular knack for making us think gradually and once more about previous concerns and fears, over and over again. Just remember, what if it doesn't work out? But what if it does? No, wait, you don't, because what would others say? And so, an endless cycle of worry runs through our heads until we are left with nothing but more and more tiresome hypotheticals. If this were an Olympic discipline, we would surely collect a few medals in the self-critical projection of scenarios. But enough about worrying. What about memories? Yeah, the past. Most of us sigh now with a slight smile. Memories, especially those laced with emotion, have a VIP ticket in our minds. They come, they recall, they replay. They sometimes slow down, as if offered in slow motion. But after a while, the humor runs out and the memory is back with a heavy dramatic breath. Often, one memory brings another, then a loop of more thoughts, and we're off again. Strangely enough, there is no admission charge for this pretty much live cinema, so we are the ones paying for the emotional space. What is striking about all this is that the development of this area, the ability to work and run the operation of one's own consciousness, is quite often forgotten in personal development, perhaps because it's not as visible as learning a new skill, getting a certificate, or sharing an achievement on social media. But let's be honest. What benefit does a flawlessly organized list of priorities provide if our mind chooses to completely ignore the "don't panic" box and instead hit the pedal of anxious thoughts? The habits we cultivate in our minds determine our priorities in life, our moods, and ultimately, the destiny we shape. As poetic as it may sound, it depends on what we allow to enter our mental space. Today's world is contributing immensely to the fact that we are no longer seeing our consciousness as something that is supposed to be under our control. Yes, some popular psychological concepts teach us that follow your intuition or take whatever comes is the answer to everything. Who would doubt that it also hides under these bombastic phrases a complete surrender to immediate and usually most urgent impulses? But moreover, such simplification of the true meaning of intuition or acceptance may paradoxically only calm us into our subjective restlessness. After all, listening to intuition is not the same as giving thoughts free rein. Intuition is a gift, but working with it and understanding it correctly is an art. In the same way, acceptance is not lazy agreement to every chaotic idea that suddenly pops out at us. It is the control of the mind that allows us to use intuition to gain power, and the kind of power that frees us from the prison cell of our minds. Imagine if our mind was like a kitchen. Yes, that's exactly right, and we would be its chefs. The wrong ingredients, stale memories or fears tainted by emotion, is like rotten chicken that you really shouldn't put in the oven. But we say to ourselves, I'll cover it with a little bit of seasoning and no one will know, right? But the problem is that the smell spreads everywhere. Who would want to have an emotional dinner prepared like that, despite being served with flair? Sometimes we just have to let the mental mold go and carefully source new ingredients. The key is to understand one thing. If we remain passive in our consciousness, it will turn the kitchen into a dump. The inconveniences will chain. Everything will sigh, "I really can't do it anymore." They will repeatedly eat away at each other until finally there is a mental brew of chaos. Therefore, to be the Michelin chefs of our lives, we need to know when to cook, when to ignore, and when to clean the pantry of what spoils it. Because our own consciousness is ultimately where our destiny is cooked. Believe me, letting an uncleaned kitchen run, it has been tried a few generations back. It didn't turn out too tasty. The story of finding one's own direction is something of a detective story for many of us. You look for clues, sometimes you take a wrong turn, but eventually, you get to the right destination. All of us have moments in our lives when we stop and think about what direction we should take next. You may have found yourself in a situation where your life seems to be running on autopilot and you don't really have a moment to realize if you are going the right route. Or worse, someone else has programmed your GPS and you're just along for the ride. And this is where the story of finding your own direction begins. The pressure of the right way. The world we live in is constantly telling us what we should do to be right. We should meditate because that's what successful people in Silicon Valley do. We should practice yoga because it's a guaranteed key to mental well-being. And of course, we should read motivational literature because after all, those 10 rules for a happy life will change everything that needs to be changed. But what if that's where the problem lies? What if what we need to do is actually just another trap we're caught in by a well-baked system of expectations? I know from my own experience that this pressure to be normal and to try to fit one's self-development into some predefined template often does more harm than good. I felt overwhelmed by what I should be doing for my growth while completely overlooking the most important thing, who I am and what makes sense for me personally. After all, personal growth isn't about accomplishing everything on some top 10 habits of successful people list. It's about finding activities and directions that fulfill my soul, and that's pretty damn individual. The courage to find your own style. My journey to finding my own direction began with a simple but not always easy question. What do I actually enjoy? It may sound like a trivial question, but many of us don't really know what we would answer, so I gave it a try, experimenting and exploring. For a while, I threw away all the, I have to do this and that, and instead just did things that I also enjoyed, without putting them into any categories of usefulness. One of the things that surprised me was that I had a lot of fun just watching. Yeah, exactly. I was living life like it was a race, and then suddenly there was exhaustion and a hint of burnout, and suddenly I didn't want to do anything, and in the beginning, I kept telling myself, you gotta do something, you can't just be slacking off. And you know what? Just hanging out for a while was the best thing I could do, and I just started watching. I was lying on the couch, staring at the ceiling. I took the train and I looked out. Guys, what happened next changed my life. I started hearing what my body was telling me, what dialogues I was having, what I really liked and what I didn't like. I had time to examine what came from within me and what were just some adopted habits from my parents or friends. It was like taking a pill and waking up from the matrix. It was liberating, and most importantly, there was no rule telling me I had to do so and so. I just want to make it clear, so nobody believes this was done in a short time. Not at all. For a while, I was just walking around like an empty shell and I was really sick. It was a couple of weeks before anything started happening. But what I decided to do, nothing, was the best decision of my life. Everything I needed was inside me. It was just locked up and buried somewhere very deep. But as soon as I turned it off and just was, everything that needed to be there started to come to the surface. And then slowly, slowly, I began exploring different activities. Great ideas came to me, and I started to enjoy life like never before. Finding a little joy in everyday things. Sometimes we look for meaning in life in something big, dramatic, and transformational. Maybe we think we'll discover a new continent, write a bestseller, or run a marathon. But what if the real direction lies in the small, everyday things that lift our spirits and give us a sense of purpose? For me, for example, that meant lying down and being with myself. Here, I would like to point out that it is essential not to get caught up in what should make sense. For someone, it may be reading philosophical works. For another, it may be renovating old furniture or watching documentaries about space. The diversity is beautiful. None of us needs to follow the same path as others. You can express your passion and your personality through any number of activities, and that's the magic of finding your own direction. Practical exercises for finding your way. And while we're at it, I'd like to share a few tips that have helped me move forward. The first thing was to start tracking the little things that bring me joy every day. I took a small notebook where I wrote down notes like, I enjoy listening to the sound of the rain, or I am happy when my boyfriend calls me in the morning. These little snippets of happiness gradually began to piece together a picture of what was important to me as an individual. The next step was to think about where I was feeling my inner resistance. For example, I discovered that I don't enjoy channeling my energy into projects that don't fulfill me, even if someone pushes me into them. This discovery showed me that I have the right to say no, and it also led me to invest more in things that truly interest and fulfill me. Eventually, I realized that life is really like a book we write for ourselves, and each chapter can look completely different. Some chapters will be quiet, full of meditation and deep thought. Other chapters will be bold, chaotic, and maybe a little crazy. But that's the beauty of finding your own direction. It's not a ready-made guide or manual. It's an adventure in which we learn to understand ourselves and gradually find paths that make sense to us. So, if you're at a crossroads and you don't know which direction to take, try asking yourself the question, "What am I enjoying right now?" You might be surprised at how simple the answers will come up. And don't be afraid to embrace your uniqueness. We are all different, and that's the beauty of it. Finding your direction is a never-ending journey, but the best part is that you can plan it your way. Let's dive into practical part. Questions for awareness of control over one's own mind. When you think about your life, do you feel like you have control over your mind? What thoughts have been going through your mind today? Were they positive or negative? What would you most like to do right now? Why aren't you doing it, or what's stopping you? How often do you feel overwhelmed by negative thoughts? What situations throw you off balance, and how could you work with them better? What do you feel you need to change in your life? When have thoughts given you strength and motivation? What impact did it have on your decision? What influence do people in your surroundings have on your thinking? How can you adapt your social surroundings to make it more encouraging? What concrete steps can you take to become an active participant in your internal dialogue? What stops you from taking charge of your thoughts? How can you address this? What would you want to do differently if you had the opportunity to repeat a situation in which you felt powerless? Think about what you would like to change in your life and why. Bottom line, we must take control of our minds purposefully. And no, it doesn't come naturally like an email from your boss on Monday morning. It's a process, kind of like studying for a final exam, only we write this test ourselves and the results will be affected by our every thought. The first step is to be self-aware. Just sit down and observe yourself. Yeah, but try it in the real world. You're sitting on the couch, last week's dishes are piled around you, your dog is biting your shoe, and thoughts like, "When's the next episode of the show going to start?" are popping into your head. Or, "Should I have answered that email today?" We need to start recognizing our automatic patterns, how quickly we slip into negative thoughts, worry or chaos, or what is not our decision. It's like we're looking at ourselves under a microscope. Oh, why did I react so irritably just now? Or, hey, why have I been procrastinating here for half an hour scrolling through Instagram? And now comes the second harder part. We have to want to. And now, I don't just mean, "Well, yeah, I should do something then," or, "Okay, I'll try." No, that's not enough. Our wanting needs to be strong and real, like espresso from a strong coffee machine. No weak determination that disappears after the first failure. Taking control of our minds means that we must want with as much energy as a child wants the latest toy from the commercial they just saw on TV. Or then, like me, you just switch off and use your body on automatic to help you do it. But I don't think one will always be so lucky, and I don't consider this borderline delaying of what one needs to be entirely lucky. And that's from the perspective of someone who has just gone through this. I believe that each of us has the ability to reshape our thinking, to direct our attention where it is most useful, and to get our heads in order. But that wanting, that desire to take that first step, has to come from within ourselves. Start with small steps. Because as they say, even the greatest journey begins with one single step, or in our case, one single thought that we choose to take care of and point it in the right direction. So, my friends, are you ready to make an imaginary deal with yourselves?